It's brand new, season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard, live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Huge show lined up for you today. In 45 minutes, we will get to truly an incredible story in the NFL that would have shifted the power of the entire league. That was going to happen. And I got to be honest, I don't know how this isn't the biggest story in sports.
Yeah.
So that's coming up in about 45 minutes to begin the show. We will recap what took place last night in the NBA. The game, I think, took 3.5 hours. So for those of you on the East Coast, you probably fell asleep a little bit. I know I did the fourth quarter. And when I fell asleep, I did it with a smile on my face, thinking, oh, I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and realize that I just cashed the Clippers +3 and the Clippers on the money line when I bet them in play last
night.
Yep. Nope. No good. They blew a lead in the fourth quarter. Timberwolves come back, and the way they celebrated, I guess we can shut it down now. Huh? They won the championship.
That was good. Well, so you make the playoffs for the second time in 17 years. I guess it's worth that kind of celebration. You cannot lose that game. You are up 10 with 8 minutes left, and Towns is out. He fouls out and did nothing in the game. And you again have another big scoring drought. The Clippers had 93 points with 8 minutes left. 5 points in the next 7 minutes.
Oh, God.
Unacceptable. Paul George was great in the second half.
He really was.
But didn't get a lot of help from the supporting cast. They could have used Kennard, who stayed back in L.A. You can't lose that game. I mean, you know, their best player does nothing. You're up 10 with 8 minutes, and you lose the game.
Yeah, but on a night in which the Timberwolves won, I will say this. Their best player was the worst player on the entire court. I think, and Barkley was killing Finch at halftime, saying it's stupid coaching to leave Towns in when he had three fouls. I would disagree. Getting him his fourth foul and putting him on the bench and then his fifth foul right away, that's the best thing that could have happened for the Timberwolves last night.
Yeah.
They were better when he was off the court. He was terrible.
They were better with the same thing regular season, too. When they lost those three games in the regular season, they were outscored by 51 points in 100 minutes when he was on the floor. I mean, lose game plan with him, but to frustrate him and Shaq ripping him, too, about you're a big guy. Get down low, please. You're soft. Called him soft several times.
He did.
Barkley also mentioned with Beverly, too, because Beverly was in foul trouble. But I could understand the criticism there where Edwards is on fire. Can you run a play for him?
Well, that's true, yeah.
In the first half. The other thing, Scott Foster. I mean, no flaw.
Oh, God.
No. I mean, what do we have, 80 free throws in the game combined? So 86 free throws or whatever it was? No flow.
I got to be honest.
Everything. Yeah. Ridiculous.
If that's not that was borderline unwatchable. If that's not a play-in game and it's called the same way, there's no chance I'm watching that in the regular season.
Ridiculous what he's done. And that's what he does. That's this is history too.
I know.
Especially where road teams get the calls now, in Foster games.
That said, when Pounds picked up number 5 in the third quarter, how are you complaining about that call? He's throwing elbows like this. Get out of my way. Yeah, that's an offensive foul, man.
Yeah.
And he's like, whoa, what are you talking about, number 5 on me?
Yep. Oh, it's warranted. He's earned it. He led the league in fouls since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
Number 3 the entire season. 3rd in fouls, led the league since the break. Absolutely.
He's an awesome basketball player. He just happened to have a really bad year against the Clippers. Again, yes. He only averaged 15 points a game in the regular season against them going into last night's game.
He better have a good series.
Wow.
Because he was horrible against Houston, and now he was horrible last night. This is a guy that makes a lot of money that's considered an elite player. That's terrible.
Yep.
And Russell, I didn't see that coming from Russell. Russell was great, but Edwards certainly was a star, and they bailed them out. They had no business winning that game.
No, I want to run more for Russell and for Edwards against Memphis. Because last night in the second quarter, I mean, first of all, let's be honest, the T-Wolves were a disaster in the first half, and they led at halftime. And I thought Russell was great in the second quarter. Then the third quarter comes out after halftime. We're like, well, what happened to the second quarter, Russell? Can you run some stuff for him? And that's when Paul George got on fire and they took a big lead. And then weird with the woman gluing herself to the court. That was before halftime, but that's what I don't know if that allowed it. But after that point, Minnesota went on a big run.
I like the tweets because Beverly came over to her. She's like, he's a glue guy, is what they say. But now imagine if she, and I know from experience, because I just had a bad experience about a month ago. If that's Gorilla Glue, this game's postponed. They're not getting her hand off the floor. That thing is the real deal.
Soap and hot water.
I had to do it. It took me 5 minutes under hot water to get on my, I'd lost some skin. If she puts I only had a little bit, just a little. If she puts the glue on the whole hand and puts it down, that game's postponed.
You could do something about that.
What are they gonna do? Her hand is not coming off that floor. If that thing, how'd she get the glue in? Where's security? What happened?
By the way, what kind of glue was it?
Right. How about Shaq? I didn't know what happened. Ernie had to explain it to him. What the hell are you doing, Shaq? You watching the game? This is your job.
Oh, he's been known to fall asleep before during games. Yeah.
Okay. Lights out.
I did. By the way,
Elmer's. What was it? Yeah.
For I don't know. But you know what she was doing, right?
Animal protest.
Yes, she was protesting. The owner of the Timberwolves has like a chicken farm. He had to kill a bunch of them because of
a breakout
with the chicken flu. What's that called? Yeah. Yeah. So that's why she was upset last night and decided to glue herself to the court.
Yeah, that was something.
Yeah, that really was.
And the game delayed because of glue.
And that's what sparked a big run by the Wolves.
Yes, it was. And what you said earlier, too, about Towns. They are down 7 when he gets his 4th foul. And they come all the way back take the lead at halftime.
That was actually a good thing. And they killed him at halftime, Finch. And I was like, no. That's the reason why they got back into this game. Now, Shaq and Barkley also picked the Wolves to beat the Grizzlies.
Yeah, I don't get that at all. I'm shocked at the series price, 360. It's going to be it's a tough matchup for Minnesota.
Do people realize how good the Grizzlies are?
Apparently not.
I know the Suns have been like the best team in basketball all year long at the very top of the Western Conference. If the Suns were not having the year that they are, Memphis would be the talk of the entire. They're awesome.
From 1 to 12.
Yes.
Depth.
Yes.
Yes. And Minnesota can't rebound. That'd be another thing. And Memphis is number 1 in offensive rebounding percentage.
I like Minnesota. They got a ton of talent, but I'm a huge fan, and I have a ticket on the Grizzlies at 25-1. They're a machine. They did all that without Ja.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's like they're 8, 10, 11 deep. Guys coming off the bench, knocking down threes all the time.
Uh-huh. They're well aware of this, too. You know, one person said Ja Morant is just Derrick Rose.
No, I know. Yeah, they pay attention.
Yeah, they're a confident group, right? And they're right. They were awesome down the stretch, killing people.
In the other game, no surprise here, right? The Nets could not cover again as home favorites.
Yep.
Now, they played a great first half. Irving couldn't miss, but that's what you get, right? I mean, Kyrie and Durant were sensational. They had great shooting games from the floor. The Cavaliers stunk for like the first 2.5 quarters, turned the ball over a lot. And the Nets were fortunate to get out of there with a 7-point win. And I could not believe that the Brooklyn Nets opened up as a favorite in the series against the Celtics. It flipped like within seconds. But you could have grabbed the Celtics last night plus 115 to win the series.
At several books. I don't understand it. I agree with Barkley. And Sean Grandy, voice of the Boston Celtics, also tweeted this. Like, let me get this straight. Kyrie can't miss. Kyrie and Durant are playing well. Cleveland shooting under 40% and they had 14 turnovers and it's a 6-point game.
Uh-huh.
And oh, by the way, they needed Brown and Drummond to combine for 34 in the worst way. Had to have it.
Yep.
Brown was great. That shot in the arm they gave him and that boost.
They could not get, now credit the defense, I guess, in the first half. They could not get stops on Cleveland in the second half to save their lives.
I'll give Markkanen some help, please.
Oh,
come on.
Oh, my God.
What are you doing?
It was a cry for help on the court.
I know.
Last night.
I know Bickerstaff did a good job, but get him out of there. Somebody help him. They're just attacking and hunting Markkanen at will.
I would say good job by Steve Nash, right then?
Well, yeah, that was. Somebody, yeah.
Or the
well,
players in the court recognizing, defend. Like they got to attack him every single time down the court.
But that, yeah, but the Nets are who we thought they were. I mean, this is nothing changed. I mean,
no.
They're at home. They blow a big lead, but somehow, I mean, Cleveland didn't even play well. And that's a 6-point game, and they have the ball with 5 minutes.
I agree.
And they're going to beat Boston?
That's who the Nets are. Now, here's the thing. Like, I have the Celtics 18-1 to win the Eastern Conference, and plus 115 was never available in Las Vegas. If it was, I would have added to it. And I would have added some nice tickets on the Celtics last night, plus 115. By the time it opened up here in Las Vegas, they were minus 150. So I guess they opened it up assuming that because of the Nets, you know, playing well last night on offense, that the public was going to be betting the Nets to win the series. No way, no how you can make they might win the series. I don't think they do, but you cannot open the Nets a favorite against the Celtics.
Oh, it's like you haven't watched them the last 4 months.
Uh-huh.
And another game where they don't cover at home.
Imagine if they had Robert Williams.
Right. Oh, God, what that price would be. Absolutely. And how things work out. Kyrie back to Boston. They will be all over him, too. That'll be great. And Tatum should light them up. Tatum should get whatever he wants. How about the Brown comments? About, wow, they don't have this. I couldn't believe the comments. Of all people. Durant not happy.
Yep.
We're gonna punish him down low. We're trying to know Williams. We're going to attack Tice and attack their bigs down low.
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy.
Right. Probably don't want to say that right after the game.
Yeah, right. Sure. And then the crowd, we want Boston chant. You're the 7th seed. They're the hottest team in the NBA since the break. We want Boston. Okay. It's everything's upside down.
I mean,
I got glue girl. This is crazy.
Durant and Kyrie have to be, both of them have to be Superman for 7 games.
And it's probably not enough.
And it might not be
because
enough.
Are you going to get that again on a Drummond and Brown? You needed that from Drummond and Brown or you lose the game.
So if Marcus Smart is really the defensive player of the year, should he not neutralize mm-hmm. Kyrie Irving to some extent?
Mm-hmm.
He, right? That should make some sense.
Yeah.
So go out there and do your job then. Right? The numbers tell us that Robert Williams was actually the better defender for the Celtics all year long. But Marcus Smart, there's a big push for him to win the defensive player of the year for some reason. Then go limit that guy. And if you do that, if you do your job, and if you're really the defensive player of the year, you should win this in 5-6 games.
Towns was 320 to have a double-double. Minus 320 last night to have a double-double. Garland over Kyrie, over Durant, under Mobley, over. Combined threes under. Largest lead over. And the T-Wolves 3-point combined with this Clippers went over. Towns way
both
under.
Both games, by the way,
George
went
over,
under.
Yep. Yes,
we saw the pace slow down in that game last night.
Yep.
Yeah, it wasn't like a regular season game with the playoff lives on the line. I thought the Cat points, rebounds, and assists were way too high. I mean, I didn't expect that, but the first hour of Follow the Money is presented exclusively by BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Check out their daily specials at BetRivers.com. Up next, we will get into the games that we have coming up tonight, hit some player props as well, and some historical betting numbers in the opening round of the playoffs. Since 2014, first-round favorites in this range are 72-6 straight up.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all.
My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
Came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
VSEN, the sports betting network.
NBA playoffs start this weekend, and Bet Rivers has an incredible offer. Place a wager of $25 or more on any team to win the finals, and you get a $5 free bet for every playoff series they win. But we see a repeat in Milwaukee and Phoenix. You make the call and get a $5 free bet when your team wins a series. Go to BetRivers.com to see the current odds and get your free bets. Terms and conditions apply.
So again, Paulie, two games last night, play-in, NBA, both games stayed under. The late game last night never had a chance to go over. It was 109 to 104, and the pace wasn't there. Bad shooting night for some players. Tonight, we have higher totals, including this Hawks-Hornets game in the mid-230s. Are you expecting something similar from last night, or is it like these teams can't play deep? There's no John Collins tonight in this game for the Hawks? Or the lack of defense is going to be up and down kind of with the track meet.
I think it'd be a track meet. There is no defense, right, when you see the teams are near the bottom. Atlanta 26th and Charlotte 22nd, as I mentioned yesterday. So I would think it'd be a high-scoring game, both games as well, and how the Spurs play against the Pelicans. I think the playoff experience last year will pull Atlanta through and again, all four home teams will get it done so far in a play-in round, that making the Eastern Conference Finals, having the game at home, and you saw a raucous atmosphere in Minnesota last night, maybe the same thing will happen in Atlanta. And I think the inexperience of Charlotte will show tonight, and Atlanta will go to Cleveland and also win that game on Friday, too. And Atlanta will play Miami in the first round.
Okay, so here were the closing numbers for the total in the regular season when these two teams played. In November, late November, the total was 226.5. It stayed under. Final score was 115-105 Hawks. December 5th, total was 225. Final score, 130-127. Hornets won that game, flew over the total. Then in late January, in Charlotte, the total was 234. Hawks won 113-91, stayed way under. And then last month, March 16th in Charlotte, total was 240.5. And the Hornets won that game 116-106. No chance of going over in that game.
Yeah. And they held Trae Young to 9 points.
They did.
Incredible that they did that.
He only averaged 20 points a game in the regular season against Charlotte. And he's minus 170 to be the leading scorer in the game tonight. Well, if they do that again, if they do a good job on him, slowing him down, then you can find a guy like Bridges, who averaged 26 a game against the Hawks in the regular. He's 6-1. Most points tonight by any player, 6-1 for Bridges.
Good prop. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Trey's up there. Big one. 31.5 with his point prop. But I think they'll get it done because they're at home. The other thing, Hayward out. Oh, how bad is that contract? All the money they gave him. And he's been injured. But it's a good story, though, too. I mean, good job by the East. Remember, the bottom of the East has been so bad, no depth for so long. The 10 seed is 43-39. It's flipped this year. You got San Antonio and New Orleans.
That's correct.
It's 36-46 against 34-48. And again, I can't believe the Lakers couldn't even go 12 games under 500. That's all they had to do to get in this thing, and they couldn't pull it off. But largest lead in threes in the same territory as some of the games last night, with 25.5, and largest lead 16.5 as well. What do you think of LaMelo's prop? Where he's at with points, points, rebounds, assists, 38.5.
Okay, so on the season, Ball averaged 19 points, 8 rebounds, and almost 9 assists per game. So it's pretty much right there.
You expect a shootout? I do. I mean, are you on board with that? Or is it more slow it down playoff basketball?
That's the thing, is that what we saw last night.
Guys were tight last night.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, with the Cavaliers, did they not look gassed to you? I wonder how that's going to affect them coming up in the next game then to get into the playoffs. Maybe something to keep in mind. Yeah, guys were super. That T-Wolves game was ultra tight. And that was like, you could tell right away in that game for in-play wagering purposes that the first quarter of the way it started, the shooting was off, and it just was, it wasn't there with the pace.
Nope.
And then that they were slowing things down before halftime, and that continued in the third quarter.
Yeah, a lot of hero ball, too. I mean, early on, it wasn't working out for Russell. He was driving, turning the ball over.
Right.
Some silly stuff, but then also no flow because of the officiating as well.
Yeah.
The late game is intriguing for several reasons.
Well, to answer your question, by the way, I'm not playing the over tonight.
Okay.
I'm not going to do it.
Okay. But there's several angles here with the late game. Number one, you want to go against Pop? Be my guest. In the last meeting, the Spurs sat several guys and won the game in New Orleans with a motley crew and still pulled it out and mucked it up and got the W. They've been great ATS down the stretch. But this is a wild season that the Pelicans had. Remember, the Pelicans started 1-12. Ingram missed 27 games. Yet here they are.
Yeah.
And he's going to play again tonight. But this is from from the front office. Not the players don't think this way. But the front office wouldn't mind losing. And here's why. There's a possibility that the Pelicans could get the top two picks in the draft or two picks in the top five because they have the Lakers pick if they lose and don't make the playoffs. And you might laugh and say, well, it's only a 6% chance. That's what the odds were when they got Zion. So they might come back next year and have Zion, Ingram, McCollum, and two picks in the top five. Think about that.
Well, in the Western Conference alone, to plug that team into, you know, a conference that's already loaded near the top.
Yeah. And also, if they win and make the playoffs, the pick goes to Memphis, I believe. They would lose that.
Mm-hmm.
So I know what the front office is thinking here, too, about, okay, we could win tonight, but let's lose against the Clippers Friday. You can get the top two picks or two of the top five. The other thing is, where's Waldo here? I mean, what's going to happen with Zion? And a good job by several people pointing out about what has happened here. He you have to call them out for something to get done. Remember McCollum? I haven't talked to him since the trade.
Right.
And then they reach out and you know, he then disappeared. He was in Portland all that time. And then you saw the workout video. And then he was cleared for 3-on-3 drills. And then his stepdad said he'll play and be ready for the playoffs. I mean, what's going to happen here?
Did you see, I believe it was NBA.com that came out with their top 10 players under the age of 25 this week? And Zion was like on the list, like really high. Like, clearly, if he's healthy, he might be number one overall on the list. He's played but this was his third full season in the league. How many games has he played?
Is it 60? Something like
it's,
that?
It's maybe like one full season combined that he's played. How can you have a guy that hasn't played basketball anywhere near the top 10 on that list? If healthy, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to play next year? I have no idea.
No, who knows what's going on about you with the workouts and can the guy play, mm-hmm. right? And can he go out there? If they win tonight, can he play Friday or can he give you anything in the first round of the playoffs? I mean, it's just bizarre here.
Yeah. So the Spurs were 3-1 ATS against the Pelicans on the year. But again, that was December 12th when they played a game. But I will say that three of the games were from basically Valentine's Day forward. And three games did stay under the total. And they closed pretty high. I mean, they got higher as the season progressed, but 220.5, 230.5, 237, and a 229.5. Again, high total tonight. I know we're expecting a lot of points. DeJounte Murray, by the way, for what it's worth, for player props, he averaged more than 19 combined rebounds and assists per game. So if you can find that rebound and assist props, it's going to be super high. But for this guy to go out there tonight and have a big game, it's fully expected. We're looking right there at the screen. The rebound prop is 7.5. Did a really good job against the Pelicans throughout the regular season. Top point scorer in the game, McCollum is plus 170, Ingram 240, Murray 280, long shot bet, maybe Keldon Johnson at 7-1.
Okay.
To be the highest scoring guy. You going to bet this pregame or are you going to get involved in play?
Nah, I don't want to go against Pop. I'll watch it, see what the pace is like and see if it should be a high scoring. Both games should be high scoring.
Yep.
I mean, it should be, but that's you saw what happened last night too. Would you lean over Murray points, rebounds, and assists 41.5?
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. Like, it's again based on the flow that we're going to get in this game, and if it comes close to the total of 226.5 now, I think that he'll get it. But if it's a lower scoring game, then I want nothing to do with it. Obviously, I know that's kind of Captain Obvious stuff there, but that's going to be based on the tempo that we're going to get tonight and
right.
You know, how effective they are shooting the ball.
Right. Does it change now because it's a play-in game? Mm-hmm. Charlotte was fifth in pace. San Antonio was sixth in pace. Charlotte is horrendous on the boards. That's something to watch tonight. I mentioned the defensive numbers as well. And Atlanta was second in offensive efficiency. That's what you're looking at tonight.
Yeah. I mean, if I bet this game before it starts, I will take the Spurs plus the points. Because it is Pop. And they did have success against the Pelicans this year, and I think it's a big number at 5.5. But again, I had the Clippers last night, and I thought in the fourth quarter that was definitely going to be a winner, and they couldn't cover plus 3. So
the other thing, too, and there, again, this is another angle. People, you're hearing some whispers out there, but this is it for Pop. I mean, could this be Pop's final game, too?
Yep. I will give you this from VSiN's digital magazine, which you can get at vsin.com/subscribe. Big favorites almost always win in the first game of a 7-game opening round series. Since 2014, NBA first-round favorites of 8.5 points or more are 72-6 straight up and 50-28 ATS. That's 64.1% going back. So the Bucks fit that bill in Game 1 against the Bulls, and we'll see what the Suns are laying in Game 1 of the playoffs when they get the 8 seed. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Up next, we'll recap last night's betting action. Line moves, upsets, bad beats. Boy, how did this team possibly cover the puck line last night?
Win Some, Lose Some is presented by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Check out their daily specials at BetRivers.com.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Molly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
some.
I'll give Von Tobel credit. He picked Minnesota to go to the playoffs before the season, and that was plus 650 on Minnesota to make the playoffs. Well, you asked me yesterday who would blow the parlay with the big favorites in hockey. Of course it's Toronto. Of course. Sabres plus 340. And no problem either.
No, that was an easy one.
But reverse puck line. 5-2. Come on, Toronto.
But by the way, it looked like other big favorites were going to go down last
night. Yeah, Florida had to go to a shootout or overtime, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then more in the Calgary game coming up. Favorites last night in MLB, there was one pick 'em, 12-2 straight up. Chalk City in baseball. Giants, plus 110, went off $1.15 favor. What was that? Darvish gave up 9 runs in an inning. How many outs did he get? In the last 2 innings, he gave up 9 runs.
Going back to last year, Giants have had his number. But I will say this. I mean, what we know right now, 6 games into the season, 5 games into the season, I'm going to be dialing back baseball bets big time. I don't know what we're going to get from these pitchers. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. It's basically extended spring training right now.
Yep. Mariners White Sox under 10 down to 9. 3-2. Nets Cavs under 230 down to 226. 115 to 108. How about the Champions League? Villarreal to advance 6-1. Yesterday, the second leg, the draw was 6-1. 1-1 against Bayern Munich. They are through to the semis. And the Chelsea-Real Madrid match was crazy as well. All the goals there. And Real Madrid is through. But Munich goes down. Subscribe, be part of the team. VSiN.com for our radio and podcast friends as well. Eclectic mix as always. An oldie but a goodie. This dog here. I mean, you're thinking, what is he doing? The dog's coming up the hill, and he's hanging out, gets out of the water, and he just stands around for a second. It's like, what's he going to do? He looks around, gets a feel, walks up a little bit on the hill, cannonball! It goes right in. It jumps right into the little lake. Oh, my God.
See, I remember seeing this video the first time. I thought he was going to jump in because it's a hot day and enjoy the water.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was going to go after the big branch.
Yeah.
Almost gets it.
Oh, that is great. That is excellent. This one is awesome, too. Were you thinking, this is how the dog travels all the time, they said. And he jumps in the trunk. What, are they going to shut the trunk on the guy? He can't get any air in there. Is that how he drives around in the car? And they shut the trunk on him. He goes, okay, let's go. But then not in the peekaboo.
And then they do that, okay.
Yeah, peekaboo, that's his move. He goes in the trunk and then puts his head down.
And that's how okay.
That's how he likes to travel. That's what he does every day in the car. There you go. Look at his face, huh? Look at that. Knows what to do. Right in the trunk. All right, they come right through. Yep, absolutely. And this one, you know, sharing is caring. You know, it's all about helping people out. There it is, the dog. In the snow.
Great video.
Bringing the cat in the sled. Yeah, look at that. I got you, buddy.
That is excellent.
Yeah, there you go.
He's got other pals waiting for him up front.
Yes, dragging him. Looking back. Are you okay? You good?
Right,
you got
him.
I got you. Is he having a good time? Is that fun? Right? That's good. Well, Chris from New Hampshire sent this in as well. A lot of people had some of these crazy parlays because the unders went 14-1 Saturday in baseball. And there it is. Look what that sucker paid. 5 to win 22,000. He went with 13 of them with his big parlay in Major League Baseball with all the unders. I can't believe it. That is something. Lose some the Nets with the win last night, but they didn't cover. 2-23 run. ATS is a home favorite. Are you kidding me? The whole season. But this is a 2-23 run as a home favorite.
Yeah, and 5-26-1, 5-27-1 now on the year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Look at this. Did you see Ben Simmons? What is he doing? The report, I mean, they asked him. It's not leather, it's lamb. And he shows up. Look at his outfit. And now they think he could maybe play in the series coming up. What a character. I'll say that.
I have nothing to add about this guy.
No.
Go play a game.
Yeah. The last week, he's on the bench wearing sunglasses.
Stop drawing so much attention to yourself off the court like this.
Yeah, well said.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, and we're living in a society. Doug sent this in from Reno. Doug in Reno, he went grocery shopping to the store. Look at this. Hounds are the bare feet. Unleash the hounds again. In a grocery store, you're walking around bare feet.
Well, why not? I mean, people are only going to go there to get their, you know, stuff to stay alive and eat, but I'll drag my toes all over the entire place. Yeah.
Thank you, Costanza. I don't get it. Bad beats, Rangers, Hurricanes under 5.5. 4 goals in the third period. And the empty net goal by Carolina with 6 seconds left. Sabres, Maple Leafs under 7 or 6.5. Also 4 goals in the third period. 42-5 overrun. Third period for Toronto. I saw 270 juice yesterday. 1.5 third period. Yep. And how did Calgary cover the puck line? 3-1 Seattle in the third period. Calgary scores 4. And if you had plus a goal and a half with Seattle, that's a tough beat as well. Win Some, Lose Some, presented by Bet Rivers, your hometown book. Claim your 100% first deposit match bonus now with code 250MATCH. Learn more. BetRivers.com.
Okay, let me give you an email that we got this morning. This is from Bill. FTM at vsin.com is the email. It's from a friend of a friend, a screen grab of a big parlay that we talk about on the show once in a while. Anyway, this person put down $10 on a cross-sport parlay, right? North Carolina to make the Final Four at 40-1. That's in.
Uh-huh.
Scottie Scheffler to win the Masters, 33-1. That's in. He has Suns title pending, plus 410. Bama college football national title pending, 2-1. And Bills to win the AFC, plus 350. A $10 parlay pays $959,000. Almost $960,000. The current cash out is $8,559. Do you take the current cash out?
Yeah, take the cash out. Yeah. You're going to have to wait another year.
What I would do is...
And then you'd still get, you see a good chance the Suns win the title, but then you got to wait. Oh, God.
Yeah, I would let it ride maybe a little bit for the Suns in the Western Conference because they're going to be gigantic favorites in the first round. In the second round, now the Jazz are a $3 favorite. Let's
That's
pretend
true.
To get the Jazz.
Yeah.
They should handle the Jazz, in my opinion, with ease. And at that point, see what the cash out button is. But if he wants to cash out right now, I don't blame him either. It's a $10 bet. And you can cash out now for almost $9,000. I would look at that, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But to have two of the first five legs in like that is just remarkable.
Now, the Bills should get the one seed, you'd think. But still, the AFC is so tough.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you like your chances with Alabama, too. But I think you said it best. It's a $10 bet. Great job so far. You take the $8,600, mm-hmm. right? Good audio last night after the games. Again, bulletin board material. I mean, Brooklyn, the crowd, we want Boston chance. I mean, you're in the playing round. You're taking on the hottest team in the league. Bruce Brown after the game about the Williams injury and what he thinks the Nets are going to do and success they'll have against Boston.
I mean, we can't let Tatum get 50. We got to be physical with them. Now they don't have Robert Williams, so they have less of a presence in the paint. And we could attack Al Horford and Tice. So them not having Robert Williams is huge.
Okay, Durant not happy about those comments.
Well, you know what? Durant played well defensively again last night. What do you have, 3 or 4 blocks in the game? And Claxton, in the minutes that he got,
yeah.
Those alley-oops were there all night long.
Yeah.
And I think he had 5 blocks in the game. No, you probably don't want to call him out like that right after the game.
No, especially Al Horford, too.
Plenty of experience there with that guy.
Yep, and then Pat Beverly on the win and giving credit to Finch afterwards, but also how his team weathered the storm. What they did in the first half, even with Townsend foul trouble. Here's Beverly.
Coaching, all coaching. I give Finch a lot of credit. He put us in a position to be successful tonight. Like I say, playoffs is when stars are made. This young man, I told him before the game, man, like a veteran, Francisco Garcia told me 10 years ago, my first playoff game, you go be very special in this league. And I told him the same thing. He came out here, man, I was so proud of Ant. Came out here, responded well, Cat fouled out. 20-year-old took over the game. So proud of him.
He did.
Had to have it. He was really good.
And they should have been down big at the half.
Oh, yes, they should have been.
I mean, remember, they are down 7, and then Towns goes to the bench with number 4. And then the Clippers couldn't do it. Like, there was twice. They had a 6-minute drought, and then they had a drought at the end of the game because they were up. It was 93-83 with 8 minutes left. Scored 5 points in the next 7 minutes.
Ugh.
And the T-Wolves not only win, but cover. Oh, God. Can't lose that game.
Are you going to like the Clippers against the winner of tonight's game?
Spurs, yes, but I don't know about the Pelicans.
I don't know about the Pelicans either.
No, that's they should have maybe get Kennard back by Friday, but that's...
Pelicans were a very juicy number to make the playoffs going back.
Yes, yes. Yeah. They were... What did I write down? It was even... Yeah, it was... Well, it was even like 4-1.
Not that long ago.
Right? Yeah.
All right, if you're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, Bet Rivers has you covered. Bet Rivers has launched a series of CityCasts designed to tackle sports betting from the local perspective. There are CityCasts in Chicago, Denver, Detroit, L.A., New York, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and now Washington, D.C. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcasts. Up next, I honestly don't know what the craziest part of this NFL story is, but I do know this team would have vaulted near the top of everybody's power ratings. Imagine, and by the way, this was going to happen. Imagine if it did. We will run down the details for you coming up next.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody?
This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the Money on VSEN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, Bet Rivers has you covered. They've launched a series of CityCast designed to tackle sports betting from the local perspective. CityCast in Chicago, Denver, Detroit, L.A., New York, Philly, Pittsburgh, and now Washington, D.C. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcast.
All right, so could somebody please explain to me how this is not the biggest story in all of sports right now? Because we have multiple reporters basically going with the same story. And I would like to tell you that where there is smoke, there's fire. Ben Volen now and the Boston Globe all over this. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, same thing. And it involves Tom Brady and what happened this year in the offseason with his retirement and then unretirement. And how it was tied together with Sean Payton. And the two were going to go to the Miami Dolphins. And how it was interrupted and thrown for a complete loop. Because the day that Brady announces retirement, within like 3 hours, Flores drops a lawsuit that was unforeseen from anybody that was involved. Okay, so
one is the tension with Arians. Okay?
Yep.
So he would come in and put the game plan together. He did all the time in New England. He was ready to go with the game plan by Tuesday. And then Leftwich would help him out. And then Arians would come in and like, scratch that out. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And then a lot of times, Arians wasn't even ready.
Correct.
So it's like, Brady's like, what the hell's your problem? You're the coach. What do you mean you're not ready? Let's go. We got a game coming up.
Mm-hmm.
New opponent. Let's go. That bothered him. That's the first part of this. But that stuff was real about the tension. And then, okay, I guess I'll come back, but I don't want Arians there. So then he took the trip to the Man U game, and then the rest is history, right?
Sure. Owner of the Buccaneers.
Yeah, Glazer family, right?
Over there. Okay. Talk to Tom, no doubt about it. He can put two and two together here. But the first report that came out a long time ago was Stephen Ross, owner of the Dolphins, was meeting with Tom Brady on a yacht, and Brian Flores walked in. He turned around. He's like, I can't be a part of this, right?
Yeah.
And then so the timetable goes like this. Sean Payton announced his, quote-unquote, retirement from the Saints. But he also, like, in his goodbye announcement or letter, he said, I'll probably be back coaching sometime soon, which seemed odd at the time.
Mm-hmm.
That was January 25th. On February 1st, Brady announces his retirement. So they were all in cahoots.
And as I said on the air, and others did, why didn't he thank New England?
Correct.
Now we know.
And he never used the word retirement.
Yeah.
Okay, that was another thing, right? So the deal was going to happen. Wheels were absolutely in motion where Brady was actually going to take a front office job with the Dolphins, and Sean Payton was going to be the coach of Miami. And it was all getting worked out, and then lo and behold, again, unbeknownst to everybody involved, Brian Flores drops a lawsuit later on in the day that Tom Brady announces retirement. So then they had to be like, whoa, 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 what is this? Hold on a second here. We can't possibly move forward with this plan anymore.
Yeah, they would have just skirted the Rooney rule. And it just, it does look a little bit better for Ross because it was the outrage. And I was pissed too. Like, how do you fire Flores when you close winners of 7 of 8, whatever sure. It was? And that, you're going to bring in Peyton and Tom Brady.
Right.
That's why I got rid of Flores, what I was going to do. But then the timing would have been horrendous, which with this coming out, it's like, okay, well, here was our plan. The other thing was he was prepared to sit out a year.
Correct.
And that's another, yeah. What's the guy going to play till he's 47?
That's the thing.
Yeah.
So Brady, according to the report, was going to take a front office gig with Miami this upcoming season and potentially not play football.
Potentially.
Right.
Or it was, wait a second, I'll go in the front office, I'll wait till Tampa drafts a quarterback, brings in a new guy, we'll let them settle, say, okay, you've obviously moved on. Here's a third-round pick, whatever. Tom's coming
sure,
back.
Sure, because...
Here's your compensation.
Because the Dolphins were going to have to give compensation to the Buccaneers for Brady. The Dolphins were also going to have to give the Saints some compensation for Sean Payton, which, according to reports, the Saints and Dolphins discussed this.
Oh, man.
So it was all, again, going to happen. And then, would Brady play? Would he not play right away? Imagine if he goes to Miami with a front office job, takes this year off and then says at 46, yeah, Tua, you're not our guy. I'm going to come back and play at 46 years old. That was, again, according to the people in the know here, a possibility, or the fact that he could have just said, nah, you know what? I'm going to play this year after they got it all resolved with compensation and draft picks and et cetera. So imagine if this happens and do they still put together the offseason they've had, because they've had one hell of an offseason. The biggest question mark for Miami is clearly the quarterback with Tua Tagovailoa. But if they did the same exact thing, adding the guys they did, including Tyreek Hill, and if they have Tom Brady, And if he could somehow play after they made it all work?
God.
Where are they at in the in that top tier of teams in the AFC?
And how juicy would it be that Brady's playing the Patriots twice a year?
And that's why he didn't say anything about them.
No goodbye.
In their retirement.
Oh, God. Genius plan.
Phenomenal plan.
You just can't just pack up and leave and go, okay, I'm going to Miami now. I mean, it's kind of like the Favre thing, how he got his way finally to Minnesota.
Correct.
He would have to do the front office route.
Mm-hmm.
And then my minority owner. And they were going to announce that before the Super Bowl. But then the timing and then the Flores thing as well. And then you're paid to tank games and all that other business and how people have been added to the lawsuit. Oh, my God. I can't believe this story.
And so for those of you that don't know the connection here with Stephen Ross and Tom Brady, Stephen Ross, of course, the owner of the Dolphins, Michigan alum. So he's always been a huge fan of Tom Brady, obviously, where he starred and played college football. So he's always wanted him in part of a package or a part of a deal, and this is how they were going to make it work.
Yeah, and I also will answer the question you posed from the get-go. Why isn't this the biggest story right now? It's because it was Ben Volen of the Boston Globe and Mike Florio and not the four-letter network. This is crazy, unbelievable reporting here.
It really
is. Great job digging this up.
Yep.
And the relationship, Brady and Peyton have had a relationship over 20 years, and they have the same agent.
Yep.
And Brady was close to joining the Saints before Brees decided to come back.
It's another huge key to the story.
Uh-huh.
Same agent, Don Yee. So he could have been working behind the scenes the entire time to make this happen.
Oh.
Which, I don't know how tampering doesn't come into play, but if teams are compensated and they give the draft picks and they're okay with it, then they can move on and be okay.
Would you have walked away on the yacht with the meeting? Okay, I got a surprise for you. Here's your new quarterback. It's Tom Brady.
If I'm Brian Flores.
And Flores just walks away. I can't do this. I'm breaking rules. I can't. I don't want to be a part of this. God, there's so many layers.
Yeah, but I don't think Flores was going to be a part of it, though, anyway. Peyton was always going to be part of the package. Right? So what?
There was a meeting before, I think, of what they...
Before...
This is before Tampa, yeah. This is before he went to Tampa.
Oh, that's right. That goes back to before he actually signed with the Buccaneers. Yep. This is just, it's absolutely incredible. And where the Dolphins would be right now, I mean, the AFC already is just, come on. It's like 13 teams that can make the playoffs this year in the AFC.
You know, good for Tom, too. Tom can be a prick. You have to be. Why not? Just say, hey, here's my resume. Remember how many Super Bowls I have and playoff wins? And what he did, it worked out in Tampa. I want this, and this. Bring the guys in. They say, okay. Well, it worked out. And he was like, you know what? This coach is a pain in the ass. I don't like it. I'm used to doing things a certain way in New England. He does it the opposite. He's famous for a quote, win or lose, we booze. You know?
Yep.
I guess he should know what he was getting into, but he won enough of that and went to the ownership and said, oh, okay, I guess I'll have to come back, but I don't want this guy.
That's the thing, is right, where when it fell apart, so he took that time off and he made it seem like he was going to be with his family, then obviously he couldn't go to Miami anymore as part of this package because of the lawsuit with Brian Flores. He's like, okay, I'll come back and play, and he announced it, by the way, before free agency, too. So they had that resolved so they could actually go on a recruiting trail again and pitch guys to come back and play for Tampa Bay again. And the deal is, when he came back, it was already known that there's no chance he would do it with Bruce Arians as the head coach. You know, he probably just got completely sick of that over the years because Belichick never really treated him that well. They never went out and had a beer in 20 years together. And he would always be like, he was a little prickly as well.
Yeah.
And then Arians, in the first 2 years, I mean, he goes to Tampa, they win a Super Bowl, and Arians is still calling him out. And His face is fire hydrant red and getting pissed at Brady. It's like, dude, I left New England. I never had to do that. I left New England to come down here and play. We won a Super Bowl. Chill out, pal. I'm 45. I'm the best player in the history of the league.
There were several times where Arians would blame Brady for interceptions and they weren't his fault.
Yeah.
Which was
odd. It was always very weird.
There were other things. It was Belichick immediately throwing Tom under the bus during Deflategate about saying, I don't know, ask Tom.
Yeah.
And then trying to trade him to San Francisco.
Well,
calling up Shanahan. Say, they thought they were going to offer Garoppolo. They eventually got Garoppolo.
Now,
but the first guy was, you want Brady? And Lynch is like, what?
And I love the conspiracy theory people on this. Conspiracy theorists then. About how Belichick could be behind the whole thing.
Oh, yes. It was intentional to text the Dable, Flores about Dable.
With the accidental text on purpose.
He blew the whole thing up, right.
Correct, yeah. He knew it because he didn't want Brady to come back and be a part of the AFC East and play them two times every single year.
I don't think the timeline meshes there, but that also...
It's funny to think about
it
like that.
Yes, it is. Would Belichick do it on purpose?
Yeah.
With the accidental What is it? The accidental text on purpose.
That's exactly right. He's always one or two steps ahead of everybody else.
Yes. Yep. Oh, I got wind of this? Okay, here you go.
What a story.
Congratulations. Oh, wrong Brian.
I don't get this whole texting thing. The first hour of Follow the Money is presented exclusively by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Get a 100% first deposit match bonus now with the code 250MATCH. Must be 21 plus. Offer is not valid in all areas. Check BetRivers.com for full offer details and rules. Up next, RBC Heritage Best Bets with Indy Jeff. And he's telling us that he's got his best 100-1 or longer bomb that he's ever liked in a tournament since he's been coming on the show. He'll find out and tell us who coming up next.
Bet Rivers. Bet Rivers. Bet Rivers.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.